Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With your host, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros.
Call!
The call number is 646-595-3440. So kick back and relax and enjoy the show.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
I agree. Thank you. Well, welcome, everyone. This is a special edition of our With Insights show. Once again, we are without our usual co-host, Iggy. He is off doing things because the varsity soccer season is evidently coming upon us here. So he's out doing his other special interest. And we are your host and co-host, and we have a special show for you tonight. So how are you doing tonight, Mark?
Good. I'm a little bit wet. Got caught coming back from the grocery store in the torrential downpour there. So I got two showers within an hour there. So that was I'm relatively clean at this point.
Okay, ladies, catch him while you can, because he's relatively clean right now.
I didn't say the mind isn't clean, but the body maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, we can't speak to the mind, but the body, hey, squeaky clean. But anyway, yeah, because I saw that as I was at my place of work here, looking out the window, and it was very torrential downpour. It was like, holy moly, I don't know if I should build an arch here or what, but we needed it. You know, that it gave us a nice dose of rain again. I know that we've had a lot of rain this summer, and some people were complaining about it, but it was starting to dry out, so it was nice to get a nice, refreshing rain again, and all is as it should be.
Yes. Yeah. It had, after all those, it had rained about 90% of the days there for a while, but then it, it's been pretty clear the last couple of weeks, so I think the greenery will appreciate the rain here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm sitting in the parking lot because I don't want to go out on 270 where it is pretty much a mess right now. As anyone who lives here in Columbus knows, once it rains, people can't drive. So it's just might as well sit here and for the next hour enjoy the company of my co-host and all those people out there in the invisible internet radio land. As we discuss, we're going to open up the subject. I think I just felt compelled tonight to discuss relationships a little bit. I know when Iggy and I do the host and when we do the show, that a lot of people call in for readings on jobs and relationships, and those are the top two. And so relationships just seem to be a large part of our life. And, of course, you know, we come into this world and we've immediately got relationships. We've got a relationship with our, first of all, with the world itself. Then we've got a relationship with our parents and caregivers as we go through life, teachers, peers, and we begin to discover the first stirrings of love, you know, so we want to have a relationship in that arena as well. And we're driven by biological urges, emotional urges, and just kind of the culture that we live in, too, to have these relationships that we have. And so I thought it'd be interesting to discuss that a little bit. We tend to talk about some esoteric things and some rather political things sometimes, or some off the radar kind of stuff. So I thought this was kind of close to people's hearts, and it was important to just to start the discussion here. And of course, you're welcome to call into the number. Mark, if you'd be so kind as to give the number for calling.
Yes, you can call in. The number is 646-595-3440. That is 646-595-3440. And also the chat room is open. So if you are in the world of Chattingham, you can feel free to Postick. North Chattingham. I don't know that we reached South Chattingham. But feel free to post a question in the chat there if you are too shy or unable to get to the phone to physically call in, and we'll try and get you on the air.
Right, right, yeah. So just to kind of start us off, I suppose, you know, I could talk about my experience with relationships and as I've gone through life and what that has meant to me. And, like I was saying, relationships tend to fall into those categories of parents or, you know, peers, and that turns into coworkers, and then you have, the love relationships that that we all have. And so when I say relationships, most people think of that, you know, and I'm kind of thinking about that too, is, you know, what does it mean to have a relationship with someone, and is that something that we are programmed for? I know in a way we are. Or is it something that we're culturally driven to, pressured into sometimes, or just feel like we need to have a relationship in order to be fulfilled or complete? What kind of a relationship do we have with ourselves, too? You know, because that's a relationship as well. How are we relating to who we are as a human being and expressing that? And how comfortable do we feel in our own skin? I know for a long time that was kind of an issue for me, too, because I just felt so strange and odd being here in this world in human form, that there were times I thought, you know, hey, I don't even know if I'm really a human being or not, because I just seemed to fumble, and this all seems like learning some kind of a foreign culture to me, you know. To get back to relationships, too, it was like with that, sometimes with when you're with a person and everything seems to be going along fine, you find yourself suddenly on the wrong side of someone's anger, or you know, you stepped over a line or on an invisible landmine, and suddenly you're at fault, or you you didn't mean anything by it, didn't mean any intentional harm or, you know, hurt anyone's feelings, but suddenly they're angry at you. And for me, that was like, well, I guess I didn't read that part of the guidebook, because I thought I was doing just fine. But I don't know, sometimes I guess maybe out of my mouth comes things that I should have thought twice about. And there's a dance that goes into relationships. You know, there's kind of a interaction and a back and forth. And some people are better at it than others. So maybe I'm just not that as good at that as other people would be. Some folks enjoy that kind of give and take and that kind of, you could almost call it drama that goes on back and forth between two people. But not really for me, you know. I like to do my own thing, and if somebody likes to do their thing with me and we happen to do it at the same time and place and we're good with that, then that's fine, you know. But I don't like to have to second-guess someone or walk on eggshells or feel like I have to ask permission or compromise to do what I feel is my heart's duty and my mission here. And so relationships have always been kind of a struggle for me, and I'll be the first to say, like I did, that, you know, I'm not the expert at it. But that's my history with it has been that there's different levels and there's different speeds of relationship. And for me, my fault is I jump in with both feet, and I'm just giving you everything. I'm making you mix CDs. I'm showing you all this attention. I'm taking you out to movies. And then after a while, it's like, oh, okay, now what do we do? I can't top myself anymore, you know.
Right.
So
right.
That's when I think the friendship part comes in too, because you know we can have all that romance, you know, and the love, and you know the physical interaction if there is any there, you know, of two people, and then suddenly you're like, okay, well now, do you really know me? Do I really know you? Pacing, I guess pacing is kind of my problem. So that's where I stand. How do you stand, Mark?
Yeah. Cross-legged. that's, first of all, that's the most common thing that I get in readings and questions too, is relationships, jobs, and relocation. Those are the main questions that I get. Relationships have been the difficult one for me to figure out as well. My astrological chart is kind of set up to, that's where one of my main issues is to figure out the balance between myself and the other. I'd say very fortunately right now I'm in a relationship with some probably the best relationship I've ever had. So, you know, there's hope for all of us. If I can, if I can figure it out at some point, then. But it's tricky. I'm much like I am nerd like yourself. In the, you know, I like making mixtapes and stuff for people and all the old kind of, I don't know, cheesy type stuff we used to do. I mean, because that's, I think musically, I correlate music with everything. But you're right, I think it's, you know, it's not really, sometimes it's not only can you get together through, stay together through the tough times, but it's, are you able to hang out in your downtime? Are you able to spend your free time with each other and, you know, not get annoyed? You have common interests, because like you said, sometimes we have emotional issues we're working out with someone, or physical things that attract us. But it's good, you know, when you get that mix of the, you know, the spiritual and the physical and the emotional and the, you know, the same interests and stuff, that's the that seems to be the difficult part, is to get the proper match of things, you know, of the mix between people. One of my greatest teachers in this incarnation on the Little Blue Marble is the astrologer Jeffrey Wolf Green, and he had one of the greatest sayings I've heard on it. And he said, one of the biggest problems with relationships is proximity. So it's like, if you are up each other's rear end constantly.
Yeah, true.
That can sometimes be difficult. It's like, it's almost like it's built into us to have this codependency issue, to where it's like, oh my God, there's something wrong with my relationship. We're not together every minute, or we're not, you know, we have, this person's supposed to be my soulmate, which is a, yeah, I'll just be honest, soulmate is a horrible term that I don't even like. It's like you're, it's like you're trying to put everything, and it's like trying to put everything in one basket. Like, if this person doesn't fulfill every mental, physical, emotional, philosophical, spiritual interest I have, then we must not be good for each other. And it's like, you know, that's part of the Hollywood plot to destroy relationships. I mean it's like you're allowed to have some different interests. You're allowed to spend time with your friends. You're allowed to do different things. You're allowed to have alone time sometimes. And it's like more relationships end up in that codependent thing, that, and you know, that's what I always try to struggle with, because like you, I throw everything in up front. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this for you. Oh, do you want a foot rub? Oh, do you want, here, let me go pick up dinner. Here, you know, here's a mixed, you know, it's like, I just like go overboard up front. And then it's like, then how do you possibly live up to that afterwards, you know? we sabotage ourselves in so many ways that it's almost hilarious if it wasn't so brutal sometimes.
Absolutely right. Yeah, you know, and so it's finding balance. Balance has always been an issue for me. I'm a Gemini, so, you know, I always tend to go to extremes, you know. So I'll get involved with someone and I'll throw everything I have into it and it'll just be wonderful and they'll just be sucking it up and loving it. And then suddenly I'm like, you know what, I kind of want to be alone now. I kind of want my space. you know.
I am sure I have left many a female on the planet looking like a dog that's just been shown a card trick. I mean, just
like, right, a little cocktail kind of, ooh, what? Yeah, yeah. I once had a woman tell me that she was breaking up with me because I was too happy.
Oh, damn you, David Two Crows.
For being too happy. But you know what? I do understand what she meant. In her own way, she was trying to say that I wasn't addressing some issues in my, you know, that we needed to have, that weren't so pleasant. You know, I was kind of like glossing everything. Hey, it's okay. It's fine. You know, it's cool. You know, I was, and I understand that now. You know, looking back, it was kind of funny, but, you know, I understand it now. So that's another thing that is with me is that I don't, you know, there's a part of me that I'll probably never share with anybody just because of things I've been through in my life, you know, and I just feel comfortable not giving all of myself away because I feel like that could be used against me somehow somewhere down the road, or like, you know, somebody will know me so well that, you know, they'll be able to manipulate me. And so I always reserve a little bit of myself, or I always want a little bit of space. I don't jump both feet in all the time. I'll put up a great presentation, you know, but when it comes down to it, I do want to have some things and some time that are mine, you know, and that I don't feel like I'm in constant competition. If I had someone who was just like me in my life, say a soulmate or somebody who is just like, I'd be like almost like, hey, you know, that's my gig. What are you doing over here? You know, so.
Goodness sakes.
Yeah, so. It's hard. It's hard to find. So I understand, you know, that people want to have relationships and they want to find someone that they can spend time with, that, you know, they can share things with. But I feel like we sometimes have this idealized romance, and you see it all the time. You see it in movies. You see it on the eHarmony commercials. You see it in our, you hear it in our music. It's presented as the ideal relationship where that, they stayed together for 65 years and they died in each other's arms. You know, that's really hard to find, actually, you know. And I've been lucky just to put 10 years together with somebody before, you know, we just basically said, that's it. So I think we put a lot of pressure in and put it on ourselves and on other people to have that kind of lasting relationship when sometimes we're only together with somebody for a limited time, and that's okay, too. That should be okay, too. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, kind of like I was saying, I mean, it's hard to keep that that balance of having our own unique self and interests and then interacting with interacting with others and just not losing ourselves, not losing our individuality. It's like two functioning units together, two separate units functioning together as a, again, this is just one of the horrible stereotypes I think that's out there, that if you don't completely mesh in every single area, then the perception is that there's something wrong with your relationship. So I think it's got to be a combination of having enough similarities and enough common interests, but also enough things different about you that you can kind of grow and expand and kind of show each other stuff, expand the other person's horizon. And then you need that
right
step away time to kind of catch your breath, too.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So, can you speak for a minute about twin flames? Because I don't know how that matches up with the soulmate concept that we were talking about earlier. But for me, it seems almost like the same kind of a dangerous idea when it comes to relationships. But I may be wrong. So, what do you understand about the twin flame idea?
I think it's very similar to soulmates, from what I've read. I don't really think that there's one and only one specific person for us. I think at different times of our lives, we could have different people that are soulmates. And I think, you know, I think there's the very real possibility that some of these people are other spin-off parts of our soul. I think sometimes a person's soul wants to evolve very rapidly in a short time, and they have little splinter shoot-offs of themselves. I think that that's possible. So, I mean, to be ugly honest about it, I would think that Twin Flames is kind of another over-spiritualized, new agey kind of crappy term that I don't like.
Tell me how you really feel about it.
To be blunt about it.
Yeah, no, that no, I understand that, and I appreciate that. Well, yeah, you know, I think you're right. When we romanticize or put that much emphasis on someone else being, you know, like the old Jerry Maguire movie, "You Complete Me," you know, that that sounds great. It sounds very romantic, but it's very unrealistic and like it puts too much pressure on us to be someone else's other half, you know. So, no, we're individuals. We're here, and I believe we're complete, and I believe we're here for a purpose, whatever that purpose is. And if that person that you're with, that you meet, can help you with that purpose, or you can help them, or you can walk a while or a lifetime together, that's wonderful. But really, I think that all this emphasis upon romantic love and finding the perfect person and, you know, spending all this time in relationship, seeking, and it distracts us. I feel it distracts us from maybe the deeper reason why we're here. So we end up feeling like, you know, I'm not happy unless I'm in this relationship. I know people like that who are always lamenting the fact that they're single, and they see couples who are supposedly happy walking around, and they envy them, you know. But what they don't realize is those couples go home and they fight. That they have their own issues. They have their own separation. You're only seeing a thin slice of their life, and you might just be seeing a facade that they're putting on. So every relationship, every couple has issues, you know. So don't feel like you're less than they are, because you know what? Sometimes you can be in that. They may just want to be just like you and be single and be out of their relationship. I wish I was single again, you know. So appreciate who you are, where you are, and the situation you're in. And I think there's just too much forcing in trying to create this artificial atmosphere that, you know, of coupling, you know, and finding that person. So, I don't know.
Right. I agree. I mean, there's... And let's see, how do I put this? There's different kind of... Well, one thing that I think is very harmful that I see is I've known people that were like relationship jumpers, where it's like they kind of, they're single for about like 47 seconds when one relationship ends. It's like they're immediately in another one. And it's like, I think, in my opinion, that kind of defeats the purpose of everything. I think you need that time between relationships, because I think you, if not, you go into, you know, immediately looking for the bad things in a previous relationship. You look for it in that new person, and you may be completely missing maybe some bad stuff that they're doing, because you're so focused in on, I think we, you know, on what the last person did. You know, somebody said that we're always trying to correct our last relationship, and I think on many levels that's accurate. I mean, it's, you know, I think you need that time and that space, like in between relationships, to kind of see, okay, this person was a jerk. I did this wrong. We didn't mesh in this way. I really like this about the relationship. I didn't like that. You know, I could have handled this better. You know, mm-hmm. I should have, you know, I think you need to kind of need that time to analyze and let things settle and kind of figure out you know, hey, what do I need? What's the next step? What do I need differently from the last person? And what, why didn't it work out? And what kind of things do I need out of the next relationship? And I think a lot of people don't. I think a lot of people kind of have get caught up in that codependency thing, and it's like, oh my gosh, I have to go out with somebody immediately, even if it's, you know, even if they maybe feel they're not ready. And then I think a lot of times too, that's when people jump into bad relationships, is when they're just trying to rebound from the previous one.
Yep, exactly. A lot of people define themselves by relationships. Who am I with? And who am I when I'm with that person? And, you know, it becomes, like you say, very codependent. They feel as though they're not worthy unless somebody else sees them as worthy. And that gets very toxic, because that then you're putting that power into someone else's hands to define you, to define your self-worth, and to make, you know, so they have the power to remove that, and that threat could always be there of, well, I'm going to withdraw my love if you don't do this, or you don't act this way, or you don't treat me this way. I can withdraw my love, and your self-worth is going to go right out the window. And, you know, so it becomes a power struggle. And I think it's unhealthy and dangerous even to leave that kind of a window open for other people to manipulate you with. So you really have to be careful, I feel, to value yourself first, you know, and that you're fine just as you are. You have something to offer. Someone else has maybe something to offer you, and take it at that. Don't throw yourself into it and go, you know, I've got to have this person. And, you know, that's where you get into stalkers, and you get into people who, you know, they fall apart, or they're nobody without somebody in their life. So that's dangerous and unhealthy. And so I think you need to really value yourself first, and understand that you know, you're here as a whole person. I mean, we come into this world whole, and we're told from day one, you know, how that really we need to depend on this and we need to depend on that. And, you know, it's a little power game, I think, where little pieces of our power get taken away at a time. And after a while, we've got these deficit holes in us where we're always trying to look to get that back, but we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking outside of ourselves to get that back. So instead of realizing, you know what, it's just the illusion of loss of those holes inside of us that drives us forward, we're still fine. We're still great. We just need to accept that and return ourselves to wholeness in our own minds and our own hearts before, you know, letting someone else take that away from us all the time and lead us around basically by a string. So, these are things that have kind of come to me as I've gone through life and walked some painful roads and given away a lot of myself, you know, and a lot of time and effort and money and just, you know, who I am to people. And they've certainly willingly taken it, you know. Not to say that I haven't gotten anything back from them. It's just people will take as much as you're willing to give, you know. I've hardly met anyone who said, you know what, no, you're doing too much for me, stop, this is too much, you know, you need to focus on yourself again. I think it's human nature that, you know, when someone's giving you and giving to you and giving to you, you know, you keep taking it because, for one, you don't want to deny them what they want to give you. And on another level, you know, some people just, well, they want that support. They feel they need to be supported, and so it becomes a real issue sometimes.
Right, it's like people don't go into their jobs and go, oh, no, you're paying me way too much. He's cut my salary a little bit. I mean, it is, and it's hard to, and sometimes, you know, that's our fault where we, you know, like we talked about, like maybe sometimes we do too much up front or give an unrealistic projection of ourselves, but projections is another issue. It's like I think sometimes we go into relationships with certain, I mean, you can't help but have certain expectations, but I think very easily that turns into projecting onto the other person. And then when you project things on to somebody else, it just makes it easier for things to to, you know, go bad, you know, just, you know, you get into a relationship and it can be, you know, I'm better looking than them, so they should do everything for me, or they're the greatest person in bed ever, or, you know, just certain, you just end up with certain projections, like they should be doing this and this, and they don't, even as much as you talk and communicate, you can't, they can't possibly know everything that happened in your previous relationships or whatever. And so it's like sometimes we can get so caught up in what our projections of what a relationship should be that, you know, there could be really cool things happening that we aren't even aware of or aren't paying attention to, because sometimes we'll get so fixated on, okay, are these three needs getting met, or are these things I'm projecting, or is this really happening, or, and you may, you know, when you have projections and judgments and stuff, I think sometimes you, I think you miss a lot of what's going on and sometimes don't see it until afterwards. So I try to keep a, an open mind and just remember, it's like, hey, you know, we all have baggage. We all have, you know, really good relationships that we've had, and we've all had some bad relationships, and we all have a little bit, at least a little bit, of baggage that we carry around. So we
a little bit, yeah.
So it's like we have to just kind of be cognizant if is what we think going on really what's going on, or is this the structure or reality that we've created? I mean, I've seen, you know, I've seen myself, even as much as I try to be aware of this, sometimes I project stuff and I'll be like, man, is this person really doing this, or is this just like stuff that are defense mechanisms in my head, and at any kind of sign of anything, I just like, you know, I'm not the angry type. I don't go around yelling or hitting people or anything like that. But it ends up, it's kind of the opposite. It's like I get quiet or whatnot, or I get, you know, and then I have to go, it's like, you know, am I, are they really doing something offensive, or am I just like, they've just kind of accidentally done something that just triggered something in me that I hadn't resolved, or I was lazy and didn't do my work on, and so I still have this, you know, if you have an open flesh wound on your arm, the other person is going to probably accidentally bump into your arm once in a while, and it's not that they're and it's not that they're trying to, you know, open up these wounds, but if you have an open flesh wound that you haven't resolved or healed properly, then, you know, there's going to be bumps and bruises and stuff that happen. So I try to think, it's like, okay, am I really right to be angry at this, or am I, you know, am I being overreactive? Am I, like, hypersensitive to certain things?
That's a good question. Let's take a break and come back, and we'll discuss it more. Maybe we'll see if someone's in the chat room, or we might have a caller. So we'll take a little break.
Okay, we will be right back soon as I find the proper...
Push the button, Frank.
Okay, now we'll be right back in 30 seconds.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
And are we back?
Caw, caw, two crows.
You'd think I'd have the alphabet figured out by now, but it just... Still have a hard time finding some of that.
This is amateur radio, folks, so you just have to take what you get with it, and we hope you're enjoying it. But, you know, we're here. We're real people. We, you know, we fumble. We make mistakes. We're not always perfect, so deal with it, I guess.
So.
Oh, boy. You know, what is Miss Fuzzbottom doing later?
She's been working her other job, so she still pops in here and there, but you know, we may need to get her to pop in with some new comments, I think.
Lovely.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know, you know, sounds good to me. Anyway, so, you know, and talking about relationships, it's not even about who we're with at the time. We're patterned pretty early with a lot of impressions, a lot of opinions, a lot of what we see and do and say and hear other people see other people doing and hear them saying. I'm talking about mainly our parents, but there's other role models that we have for relationship pretty early on that tend to influence us as we go forward, unless we understand that they're just role models or imperfect people who, you know, are doing and saying these things. I'm thinking mainly because people tend to repeat what's comfortable, whether even that being comfortable is a negative relationship that they're in. You know, sometimes they try to find that same, you know, messed up situation, maybe, and eventually they hope to correct it. But I just see it happening again and again, where people go from one bad relationship to another bad relationship, allow themselves to be used and abused, and you just wonder about the patterning that goes on in our lives that forms that. For instance, my parents are still together. They never got divorced. My dad, being very, you know, old school, you know, he's a macho guy, provider. My mom also worked, you know, she's a nurse, or was a nurse when she was working, but, you know, always right there doing her best to keep the house going. And, you know, those were the role models that they had and that they were expressing. I didn't, you know, I don't know, just because I was the last child to come along and, you know, kind of like the oddball, that never really sunk into me as the pattern that I wanted to repeat, because I'm not that kind of person. I'm not a, you know, a macho, take charge kind of guy. I like to live and let live. So in my relationships, I give as much freedom to the other person as I expect in return. And for some people, that may be a little too much freedom. So that might be a problem that I've experienced before with some people. But all in all, you know, we have to kind of look at the patterns and the role models that we have. And certainly some of our role models stink. They're like Hollywood role models and unrealistic and, you know, so I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, there's, and that kind of plays into the, you know, the projections and things, you know, we see the, you know, the Hollywood version of things, and it's like, you know, it's like, oh, we don't have the picket fence, the white picket fence and the two-car garage and all this. And it's like, you know, it's like, we, you know, we feel that something's lacking or whatnot, instead of taking, you know, the relationship for what it is. I mean, it's really kind of scary when you think about how much we think of things, you know, via what we see in movies and on television. I mean, just like the 2012 thing, you know, there wasn't a big rapture and, you know, pole shifting tsunami,
Yellowstone volcano going off stuff. Yeah.
Right, right, right. And it's like, Brad Pitt didn't come down to rescue us or what, you know, I mean, and it's like, so we think, you know, so people are like, oh, how come nothing happened in 2012? It's like, nothing happened in 2012. It's like, are you kidding me? it's like so many people started waking up and everything, but it's like if we don't get the, it's like if we don't have our teleprompter, you know, to get our, to get the cues, that's, you know, then we kind of think, oh, that really happened.
Yeah. There were no special effects, you know, there's no ground opening up and, you know, yeah. So, we just don't understand sometimes that's an artificial reality. And it's just even earlier than movies. I mean, you look at the stories that our children are told and that have been handed down, the fairy tales, the happily ever after, the prince and the princess, or the, you know, that they, there's never any problems, and life's not like that. You know, you've got to still move forward, and you've got to pay bills, and you've got to, you know, work through issues with each other, and then kids come along, and there's a whole other life-changing event. So, you know, life just goes on and on and on, and I think, you know, as much as we like to indulge our children in those stories and role-play with that, and it's almost dangerous because it gives them a false idea of what reality is really all about, you know. So, although, you know, that's part of our culture, I think it would be do well for us to move with our children into more of a discussion about real life and about how you're going to develop relationship skills in a realistic manner, rather than just throwing out these random role models that are just so untouchable and unrealistic that you're going to set yourself up for disappointment and if you try to look for anything like that in another human being.
Right, it's just like that, you know, the TV shows and stuff, it's like, you know, you see the couple arguing 4 minutes into the show, and you know by, you know, 22 minutes later that they've got to have it resolved.
Right.
It's like,
yeah,
life.
They'll be sitting there by the fireplace with wine and the dog and everything, it'll be fine, and, you know, right, tune in next week for the next little episode, and yeah, life is like that. It's like that,
right,
at all.
Right, it's like, I'll just wait till after the commercial, honey, and everything will be fine. So it doesn't quite apply to real life that way.
No, no, it doesn't. You know, and there's a lot of people out there who are in relationships that aren't really fulfilled. You know, they're not happy. So they look to other people instead of maybe back into themselves and go, why am I not happy in my life? You know, they may realize that, hey, this wasn't all it was set up for in my own, you know, my own expectations or the expectations that someone else had on me. And, you know, but so they repeat the mistake by going out and looking at someone else and going, you know what, it could be better with that person, or that person could give me some relief, at least from this weirdness that I'm feeling or this disconnection, you know. I don't know, it's just kind of adding fuel to the fire or misery to misery when you have something like that. It's, you know, it just creates more turmoil, more tension, more deceit, more garbage in your relationship to keep repeating that pattern of, you know, I think this time I'll get it right, or this time this person could be a better person than this person was. You really, it's your own expectations that are causing that person to not be right and this person to be right. You're just judging based upon what you have projected, like you're saying, out there to create that ideal image or that feeling that you want to feel when you think about someone.
Right, and that's, you know, I think another concept that I discovered that I think was important was, you know, every single relationship you have maybe isn't supposed to be the lifelong soulmate twin flame relationship, if you will. You know, sometimes we, you know, are with certain, and this can be friends, employers, this doesn't have to be a dating or romantic relationship thing, but it's like, you know, sometimes I think, and like we feel that we did something wrong, or it was a failure if we have a relationship and it doesn't end up in marriage or something. You know, it's like,
right,
if we had that, I think maybe younger people don't quite feel that, but when you get maybe a little you know, older in age, I think maybe that idea kind of crops up. But it's like you're supposed to, relationships are to learn. The main purpose of us being here is to learn and evolve through whether it's emotional, physical, spiritual, you know, whatnot. And sometimes we're, you know, people come into our lives to teach us, you know, one specific thing or a couple little things. And sometimes they're only, you know, we're only intertwined with them for a short period of time. I think sometimes we will look at those as a failure. And it's like, you know, I try to keep in mind that, hey, maybe that was, maybe they weren't supposed to be the one or a lifelong friend. Maybe they were a lighthouse to show me some direction. You know, to keep me from crashing into the rocks.
Right. That's a great concept. That's a good idea. You know, that that we have, you know, people who come along to assist us, push us maybe, you know, push us in one direction or help us discover something about ourselves. You know, that it's not all about forever after, you know, happily ever after, forever and ever. Because when you're born, you are born. When you die, you die. You know, so the other person, as much as they love you, want to give you everything they have, as connected as they are to you, those two experiences are solo, and everything in between is your, you know, your development through that. You know, and how you're going to become a better person, so you can be kinder and more understanding and more expressive of the love that you have inside of you. To the world around you. So, it isn't always about, you know, just finding that perfect person. Maybe you are the perfect person to you, and you just need to see that through another person's eyes. So, I don't know, you know, we do put a lot of expectation on it, and it often blows up in our faces just because it's not meant to be that way. And, you know, so it is what it is.
Right, and even, I mean, that kind of ties into with the the judging and preconceptions and projecting. And it's like we really don't know what the purpose of any relationship is, or any, you know, like I said, even if it's just work or friends or whatnot, we really don't know the purpose of it when we go into it. So when we kind of have those overly focused blinders on, I think we sometimes miss a lot of the lessons, and maybe that's why a lot of people, well, all of us at some point, I think, have had these kind of repeated scenarios where we end up, you know, it's like, man, how come this person's always with an abusive person, or this person is always with you know, someone that reminds them of their mother, or so, you know, we get into these patterns. It's like, until we really think about it and stop trying to fit the relationship into a little box, I think, that we can kind of see the real meaning of it, and like the less we try to force stuff and maybe pay attention instead of trying to fit a square box into a round peg. I think maybe things go a little smoother when we maybe stop and listen and pay attention a little more instead of trying to, well, this is what my end agenda is.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's a little ironic with me because I've never really had a problem with people liking me. I guess I was kind of born with some charm or some charisma, and people have always wanted to be close to me, you know, and like me. And you know, and my friends used to say, you could drop you anywhere in the world, and you would have friends within 2 days, you know, that you'd be best friends with somebody, you know. And I value that. I'm not saying that to be vain or anything at all like that, because that's a big responsibility to me, that the fact that people look to me, and they see something in me, that means that I have a responsibility to treat that right, you know. And as far as relationships go, it means that I can't just bring people into my life and then turn them away, you know, or change suddenly or make them expect something of me that I really am not about. So it's made me be a little more honest about who I am and not so frivolous and casual and take it for granted, you know. I know people, like I was saying earlier, who would give anything to have people be attracted to them and have that kind of charisma effect on people. But I'm telling you, that's another side too. You know, it really isn't all about drawing people in and, you know, and just having a string of relationships after relationships. Really, you need to have a good sense of who you are and a good sense of who the other person you're bringing in is, and at what point you want to maybe draw those healthy limits and boundaries. You know, we talk about healthy limits and boundaries on this show, and I was thinking about that in preparation for this. What does that really mean, to have healthy limits and boundaries? I think it means you don't cut people off too soon, or you don't let them in too close that they can, you know, manipulate you, harm you, or step over your lines and basically take over your life. So finding that area, that gray area in between where you're comfortable, they're comfortable, you know, and you've got your time, you've got our time, you've got their time. You've got to be able to let that other person have the same freedoms that you would expect for yourself and you know, be forgiving, be not jealous if they have a friend that they want to talk to. Jealousy raises its ugly head once in a while. I know sometimes it has in my life, you know. Oh, that person you're talking to, that girl, they're having more fun with them than they were with me. So, you know, you get that real possessiveness and you go, no, I want to, you know, I want to own that feeling, you know. It's not the person, it's the feeling that you're feeling about that person that is being taken away from you, and you need that feeling to feel whole or happy or complete. So, what is that in the background, by the way? It sounds like it's going, ta-ta! I hear something.
I don't know. Maybe it was one of the people in my head.
It's one of my crows, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, so.
Are you like a crazy
Yeah.
Man?
I'm quite sure
yeah.
they will say so.
Yeah, you know, I'm an unusual person. So are you. You know, and we all are unusual in our own way. There's no such thing as a real normal person. So. It takes some adjustment to find those things within the other person. It takes some time, because you were saying we do put a presentation out there, you know, that, hey, this is who I am and what I'm all about and this is what my interests are and, blah, blah, blah. But after 10, 12 dates or some time together, you discover, well, you know, there's this dark side, too. There's this ugliness. There's this, I don't like that part of that, you know. And so you need to be able to be honest, you know, about who you are and share enough of yourself that this person understands that you have your ups and downs, you have your good parts and bad parts, and so that they can get a realistic idea of who they're dealing with and vice versa. You can get an idea of who you're letting into your life. So I also know there's people who are just plain addicted to love. You know, they like the feeling of being in love. When that runs out, then they go out and try to find that feeling of love somewhere else. It's almost a chemical addiction. So you got to watch out for that too.
Right. That's a common thing. And then I know there's a lot of people that maybe have had some difficult relationships in the past that kind of have a nomadic thing that they kind of jive with, where it's like anytime anything starts feeling too close or getting too intimate, or where it starts feeling like
too
a
real.
Relationship or something, then they bolt.
Right. And you don't even have to do that physically. Sometimes you can just withdraw emotionally, especially
yeah.
if you're married. If you're in a committed relationship like that, that's where you get those couples who you see sometimes out having dinner. They spend the whole dinner and they never say a word to each other, you know. They're just out together and there's no interaction at all. They're I don't know, maybe I'm just judging that, but to me it seems like there's a lot going on under the surface that they're not sharing.
Right. There's all kinds of little traps and things that we can fall into, and you know, patterns that we keep repeating, and it's like even just in other areas in everyday life, I mean, we end up where we can get kind of in zombie mode, and it just, we expect this, and we do, oh, every Wednesday night we go to dinner at Max and Irma's, or, you know, I mean, you can kind of get into
right.
these routines, and it gets, you know, and it can get boring by doing that. So it's like, one of the things too is to kind of keep things, lively is not really the word I want. Keep things mentally stimulating enough so that both people
stay engaged. Evolving. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Because we do change and grow as we go through life, and you know, the person that you met 10 years ago isn't going to be the person that you met that you're with 10 years later. Even shorter period of time too, is because we're all evolving faster, it seems like. So relationships will come and go. I mean, they always do. And they can also come and grow. So I don't know, we're getting short on time. I know you've got another commitment tonight. That's why we're kind of having a short show tonight.
Yeah, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left here. So is there any kind of final words or thoughts you want to throw out there?
Well, you know, I was going to say, you know, thinking about relationships, not just with people of, you know, in the love interest, but also friends as I've gone through life, you know. I used to be different. I used to be the kind of person that really was kind of a mimic of other people and kind of a chameleon, and I would take on parts of their personality or their mannerisms, expressions, you know. That's because I didn't feel comfortable with who I was, you know. And as I've gone, and that left me open to manipulation and just feeling like, you know, somebody's sidekick or something, you know.
Right.
Later in life, now I feel like I'm pretty cool. I feel like I'm pretty relaxed. I feel like I'm pretty together. So we're going to pass through those phases in life. So if you're feeling that way now, don't worry. You're going to come into your own. Don't let anyone play on that with you. You know, you are a perfectly whole person. You're growing, you know. You may not be perfect, but you are perfectly whole. So allow yourself some respect for yourself, some dignity, some props. Give yourself a pat on the heart once in a while and say, you know what, I'm good. And you know what, I don't need to be like that, or I don't need to do all the things that those other people say I need to do, you know, to be cool or to be myself. I'm myself already. So yeah, you'll find it. You'll do it. And the other person will never complete you because you're already complete. But you can be in a very valuable, growing, and healthy relationship. And I wish that for those of you who are looking for that in life. Peace.
Right. Like the Saturday Night Live character Stuart Smalley said, you know, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me.
People like me.
But yeah, I agree. I mean, it's, you get into the, you know, I would just say, stop looking for someone to complete you, and just look for someone to compliment you. And I don't mean, oh, you're pretty, or my one pros you have, but I mean just, you know, someone who's life is complementary to yours, that flows and jives well energetically with yours. And not look for, when you start looking to somebody else for all the answers and to fix everything for you and whatnot, then you get back into the projections and the, you know, setting that other person up to fall, you know, so to speak.
Right. Did you want to plug your appearance that you're going to be making?
Oh, sure, I will be on, yeah, we'll plug this in like 2 seconds here as soon as I want to make sure I get the name
okay.
here right. I will be on What's Your Sign? I Have Your Number with Sherita Starr. And that will be from 7 to 9 p.m. tonight. And the link is on my page. It's on HEYZ Radio Network, HEYZRadio.com. And there's a chat room there. So my guest from last Friday, Sherita Starr, this is her show. And Anthony Pico is the other host there. So I have a Capricorn and a Leo I'll be on there with. And then tomorrow at noon will be Iggy and I on at noon on Lunchtime Wisdom. And we're going to be talking about Stockholm Syndrome and some other things. And I'm talking about in the political sense here. And then my show on Friday, I have Nick Dagon Best, a great astrologer from the country up north. And I don't mean Michigan, I mean Canada. and then Friday we will have Mudtoe at Midnight. And I'm not sure if we have a Wednesday show or not this week. We'll have to dig into that.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
So thanks for
being my co-host tonight. I know we had a kind of a short and unusual show, but I think it was good. And everyone have a wonderful evening, and we will see you next time.
Yep. Take care, everyone. Have a great evening.
Mark, time to return to the ship. Caw, caw, two crows.